go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We're finishing a very interesting and informative conversation with Tariq Fatah, an author and weekly columnist for the Toronto Sun in his native Canada. He is the author of two important books, Chasing a Mirage, The Tragic Illusion of an Islamic State, and The Jew is Not My Enemy. He helped found the Muslim Canadian Congress and is a very welcome guest here at Secure Freedom Radio. Tariq Fatah, we were talking a bit about this challenge within the Muslim community and the degree to which most Muslims, unlike your good self, may not agree with the Islamists, but don't want any trouble and don't want to be ostracized from their community. We've had recently a very interesting development, and I want to see what you make of it. The president of Egypt, former general, now president, al-Sisi, went to what some people describe as the Vatican of Islam, the Al-Azhar University, and challenged there the imams who are really the leaders, the authorities of the faith, I guess one might call them, to engage in a religious revolution and to, you know, step aside from what they have been doing to promote really this vitriolic sort of jihadist Sharia. What did you make of that speech, and where do you think that leaves the larger Muslim community?
Well, General Sisi, or President Sisi, is not the first one. If you recall, in the mid-50s to the 60s, the Tunisian president, Bourguiba, then in Pakistan, there was that Field Marshal Ayub Khan, the Shah of Iran, the Turkish generals at the time. A lot of people coming out of the born in the First World War period spoke about coming out of medievalism and joining modernity, bringing equal rights, family laws, gender equality, all those issues. They disappeared after the 73 war, during which the oil price from $3 a barrel shot up to 30 or 40 at that time, and moved the center of Islam away from, say, India and Egypt to Riyadh, and after 1979, Iran. Now, General Sisi says the right thing. The problem is that we have had 40 years of illiteracy within the community and a complete disfiguration of Islam to such a degree that almost every educated woman in North America thinks that covering her hair and is the most pious thing she could do. And you can't, it's not even about immigration. Most of these radical young men were born in the United States, educated in England or France, got degrees from Sorbonne, and yet they have an utter hatred and contempt for Western civilization or gender equality or same-sex rights. I'm happy that he said it. I don't know if the damage can be undone unless and until the Islamists suffer a devastating, humiliating defeat and are forced to surrender somewhere in a complete wiping out. This should not have ended the way President Bush ended the Afghan war by subcontracting it to warlords. They should have been wiped out when the B-52s chased them out and they disappeared. By giving $20 billion to the Pakistani military, we have dug a hole so deep that it will take a generation to get out. The real problem lies in Pakistan, not in the Arab world. That is where they got nuclear power, and they are creating hell for the rest of the world where they live.
It's a very chilling prospect of what is happening in Pakistan, as you say. Let me just ask you the multi-trillion-dollar question, perhaps, Tariq. We have seen now, particularly for the past 13 years, arguably going back to 1979, as you say, with the establishment of the Islamic Republic of Iran, a pattern on the part of successive administrations in this country of both parties, and I think of the West more generally, of trying to ignore many of the realities about which you've spoken so eloquently, and to engage in a practice that really, I guess some would call it political correctness, others multiculturalism or diversity sensitivity. I think a more appropriate term for it in the West would be appeasement. And unfortunately, the way it's almost certainly being perceived in the Muslim world is as submission. Knowing it as you do, what is the global jihadist movement likely to do in response to evidence of this kind of submissiveness on the part of its enemies?
Their goal is to destroy us from within. They're not shy about it. These are documents presented by the Justice Department in the Texas terror funding trial. So we know what their objective is. The problem is not just the governments of the United States or Great Britain. The problem is that there are too many people on Wall Street in the military industrial complex that are very tight with the Saudi multi-billionaire business class. And trust me, if we had to resolve this issue, there are three things we need to do. Expel Turkey from NATO, put sanctions on Saudi Arabia, and third, cut off every penny that is going to Pakistan. You do these three things, and you will have defeated the goal. What is unfortunate is that we are obsessed and overly focused on Iran, which doesn't have nuclear weapons, which only has very loud wailing voices that is part of their culture, the whole notion about beating yourself up to that's part of Iranian culture. They haven't invaded anyone so far. Yet the three countries that hate us are considered our allies. I would throw out Turkey tomorrow. I would put a blockade on Pakistan to say, if you do not release Dr. Afridi, who got Osama bin Laden killed, we will not have diplomatic relations with you.
These are points on which I think we would vehemently agree. I think I probably would dissent from your downplaying of the threat from Iran, only in the sense that between the terrorism that it's engaged in for a very long time, of course, and the imminence of its accession to nuclear power status, I think it would be ill-advised to give them a pass. But I very much take the point.
No, I'm not giving them a pass. I'm saying they are trivial compared to the threat that Saudi Arabia has done by taking over every university in the United States of America, of controlling the State Department. I mean, we've got an Assistant Secretary of State being investigated for counter-espionage. How can we? No Iranian has managed that. That's a Pakistani-Saudi joint venture. How can NATO, Turkey, sit on a NATO, know all our secrets, and then feed it to the ISIS that it gave birth to? This is simply not acceptable, and I don't know where the think tanks are on this issue. I think people are ill-informed of the threat the Western civilization faces at the hands of Saudi Arabia and Pakistan.
I will tell you where some, at least, of these think tanks are, not the Center for Security Policy, to be sure, but some have taken considerable sums from states, including those that you've mentioned, I think, over the years, and are very much suborned as a result. And really, what you've painted here, Tariq, which I'm very grateful to you for, from the perspective of a Muslim inside the Muslim community, is the awesome and quite frightening picture of a civilization jihad, as the Brotherhood calls it, that has been waged against, I think, not just the United States, but especially the United States, Canada, and others in the West for decades. And most of us are still absolutely clueless that it's happening. For these and so many other insights, Tariq Fatah, I just want to say thank you. This time has flown by. I hope you will come back to us again very soon. It is always a delight to talk with you, even if it's very sobering indeed. But we admire enormously
your
courage and for your clarity about the challenges that we're facing. We look forward to working with you and countering them. I hope that we will talk with the rest of you again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.